Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, as I've been telling you all week, tomorrow is a very special day here on 2FM. It is Flashback Friday, and it's all in aid of Bernardo's. Bernardo's ambassador, Richie Sadlier, is here to tell me a bit more about it and why we're doing it. Richie, how's it going?
Morning, Jen. How are you getting on?
Good. It's great to have you in. Thanks for popping into the studio. So tomorrow, what's it all about and how did you get involved with Bernardo's?
So tomorrow is Bernardo's Giving Day and it's a big, big day in the year for Bernardo's. It's a big, really important fundraiser. So we're really kind of asking anyone who has the means to do so to get onto bernardos.ie and to donate what they can. I think most people probably know about Bernardo's and the work that they do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, they support kind of children, vulnerable children, and they'd be dealing with families who would be in a great deal of financial pressure often throughout the year, any year, but particularly like with the cost of living crisis, they're now dealing with children who are experiencing the very, very worst of the cost of living crisis.
So now more than ever, donations are needed for
really,
what a great organisation
absolutely,
it is.
Yeah. I got involved years ago in 2011. I was asked to show up at like a fundraising football game in aid of Bernardo's. And on the back of that, I kind of asked to be shown more about what they did. On the back of that, I ended up volunteering for 3 years at a centre in Dublin.
Were you shocked at the level of need there is in the country?
I wasn't. I was really kind of encouraged and by the impact that the work that the staff of Bernardo's were doing. And that was the thing that hooked me in. Because I think most people know there's a lot of people who are in need of support and who are vulnerable all over the country. But some people said maybe don't realise the impact of support that's properly given by the right time and by the right people. So I really wanted to stay involved and do what I could for a couple of years. So any opportunity to speak publicly about the work that they do and the need for the public to support them, I'm happy to do so. So, and tomorrow is supported really generously by Dell Technologies. So if you can support, do so. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Now, lots of people will know you from talking soccer on the telly, but you are also an adolescent psychotherapist.
I am.
Phenomenal. What brought you into that kind of work?
Well, I first saw a psychotherapist to help me deal with the difficulties of retiring from playing football at the age of 24 because of an injury. And on the back of that, really, I just started to become aware, much like what I said about Bernardo's, of the impact that psychotherapy can have on someone who is in need of a bit of a dig out. And so I started to study it around about the time, actually, I started getting involved in Bernardo's. And so I was working with adults for years and then I was just really drawn to working with younger people. So I work with both now. And I really, really enjoy doing it. It's a world away from a professional football dressing room and the environment that I was used to.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more different, but it's I love it.
But away from the clinical stuff, you've done work with transition year students. How open are they in a classroom environment or in a room with you about things like consent and sexting and just being open? I get them on the radio and I get one word answers. They're like teenagers. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to. It's like getting blood from a stone. But what are they like in that situation?
It's all about the environment that you create. So when I go into a classroom or I'm in a sports club with a group, or even if I'm one-on-one with someone in my practice, if they think you're there to get intel for their parents or to ratten them to teachers or to expose them for not having all the answers or to mock them for asking a silly question or to give out to them if they make some crude remark, they're going to just box clever and say nothing. So they're going to feel threatened and exposed, and common sense would tell you, just shut up here. This guy's not on my side. So you kind of go in and just say, listen, no one has all the answers in this stuff. It's appropriate you've loads of questions. It's really appropriate you've loads of curiosity and you're starting to get interested in sex. That's what's meant to happen when you're in transition year age group and the couple of years beforehand. So this is a normal part of everyone's young lives. So let's talk about it. And let's just have the kind of conversations that might actually be useful. I'm sure, have you ever said a phrase like, geez, I wish I'd learned that in school. Mm. Or I wish someone told me that earlier in relation to your personal life, your sex life, your relationship life. So the idea behind a lot of the conversations or workshops is just that you have conversations now to give them the information that may be useful to them in their lives as they go forward, rather than wait till they hit a crisis and then they show up at my therapy practice going, no one talked to me about this before and now I'm in
in trouble.
Yeah.
Your book, Let's Talk, looked at a lot of those topics. How much do you think your own generation could have done with open discussions in school and stuff like that? We probably would have benefited.
We're roughly the same age. Yes, I Googled before I came in.
Yes.
What did you get?
We got a nun wheel in an old television and explained that, you know, the biology of sex, and that was it, you know. And then you're relying on Judy Blume and friends and the schoolyard and sisters and all that for your education, because God forbid you would never go to your parents.
So now, 15-year-old you back then had that experience. If you were 15 now, your go-to for learning about sex would be online porn, because it's available. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a phone. It's accessible any hour of the day, and no one knows what you're looking at. No one knows what area of sex you want to find out more about. But that's where you'll go. Now, you know enough about the world to know that leaving online porn to be young people's primary educator in this area has massive flaws. So to counter that, at some point, you've got to get in a room with young people and allow them to talk. It's not about talking at them or lecturing or finger pointing or warning them or shaming them or judging them, all the stuff that we normally associate with conversations about sex in this country in the past, just about kind of validating this area of their lives and saying, listen, there's massive flaws to picking up the messaging that you'll get from online porn at your age. Let's have a different kind of conversation about sex.
What would you say to parents who are listening who shy away from those conversations with their teenagers?
First of all, I'd understand it.
Yeah.
Because if, like us, they don't have any memories of adults speaking to them. So they have no parents modelling that kind of behaviour to them when they were young. So they probably weren't equipped with the vocabulary or the comfort or the permission to talk openly about sex, even to their own partners, let alone to their children. So it is a tricky conversation to start. And not only for the parents, go back to being 15 or 16, you mightn't be mad about the idea of your mum or dad sitting down and talking to you about this stuff. Like, so it's a conversation that might not be really enthusiastically like look forward to by both parties. And schools sometimes find it tricky to know where to go. They have their own ethos, they have their own parents' associations, the curriculum's a little bit loose all over the country. So there's really understandable reasons why lots of people leave it to each other. Mum might leave it to dad might leave it to mum.
Or it's left.
It's just left. Yeah. And we kind of, in a really tick box way, just go, well, this is the biological, this is this biology scenario. Here's a little bit of morality chucked in. Mm. Here's how you should behave. That's it. Close the book. We're done.
Do you think that's the biggest issue teenagers face these days? You know, that whole chat around their future sexual lives, or, you know, is that the biggest, one of the biggest issues teenagers are facing today?
Well,
what other problems do you see?
Well, I think you go back to like just adolescence, like it's a journey from being a kid to being an adult. So it's turbulent and it's unpredictable and the ground is shifting beneath your feet all the time. Like the stuff you're thinking about when you're 15, you weren't even aware of when you were 12, and you can move that process along up through the ages. So like you're dealing with a lot, and they've access to the internet, so they get a lot of information. A lot of it isn't reliable. They've access to online porn, so they'll see a lot of stuff which will be implanting in their heads, okay, well, this is how a man should behave and this is how a woman should behave and this is what's expected of me and that's what I should expect of my partner and this is what it should sound like and look like and this is what my partner should sound like and look like and this is how they should behave. And so I like your question there was framed in like what are the problems. I kind of prefer to talk about what are the kind of supportive solutions. So it's kind of just to acknowledge this area and which we haven't done in the past, and just to say, well, this is a normal, healthy part of normal adolescent development is for your sexuality to emerge. It's normal you'll have questions, it's normal you'll want to have experiences, and it's normal to feel uncomfortable and embarrassed and shy, and it's normal to want privacy. But it's not, I think, acceptable for the adult population to simply just wash your hands of this idea and say,
look, that should be done at school.
Look, we learned on the hard way. You need to learn the hard way. You need to learn from your mistakes like we did. There's a because let's expect more of ourselves.
Yeah, because there's, like you said, there's external influences like porn and
which didn't exist.
Which didn't exist in our days.
The landscape is different. There was no
online
sexting,
porn.
Online porn. There was no internet. There was no camera phones. There was none of that
there
stuff.
Was definitely porn. Let's just clarify.
There online
was definitely
porn. Sorry. Yeah. How old are you? There wasn't when I was 15.
Well, there was tins in fields with pictures and there was videos going around and there was all that kind of stuff. There wasn't online
you
porn.
You had to work the a little harder to find
this
it back
is it.
Then.
You had to work very hard to find it back then. But it was available. But if, yeah, that's right. It wasn't so readily available.
It's everywhere.
Our sex therapist, Rachel Cook, always says children who are 8 years of age, as young as 8 years of age, are seeing porn for the first. That's the youngest, because it's in people have phones now and the access is there. Can I just talk about girls in sport for a second? Because teenage girls drop out of sport. The stats are frightening. Mm. Do you think we can change that? Why do you think that's happening?
Yes, I think we can change it. First of all, obviously acknowledging it. It is the first thing. And I think one of the big things that's changed, like in RTE here over the last few years, is way more visibility of women in sport. And some people might be dismissive of that and all the slogans going around, it can't see, can't be. But it makes a material, like meaningful difference to a young person, a young girl. If they look on a television and they see that a woman's opinions are given as much credibility and credence as a man's opinion. A woman's achievements on a sporting field is equal to a man's. The same amount of airtime. Every game in the world in the Euros in the last month was shown by RTE.
Mm-hmm,
just like
right.
Every game in the World Cup in the men's in a couple of months will be shown. The Women's World Cup is next summer. I'm probably jumping the gun here. I assume RTE are showing that. I don't know. But like if you normalise these things, then in the mind of a little girl, they're not looking up at the men that they want to emulate or the achievements of men that they admire. They're just looking at women and going, well, okay, that's now a potential outcome for me in my life because I can see people doing it and I can see people supporting them and investing in them and just giving them the same kind of criticism or credibility or praise or whatever that you give to a man.
And it's so important. I took my young one to Tala Stadium to see the women's soccer team play Sweden in the qualifiers and we had to leave early because she'd school the next day, but I was like, oh, you know, how will I know what's happening? It was on the telly when we came back, and that was now, like years ago that wouldn't have happened, and it was on the telly and the stadium was, you know, it was packed out, and that was so normal for her to see. So I'm very optimistic.
And like I bring nieces and nephews of mine often into the studio to take photos in each tournament, and for years they were meeting male pundits and male presenters, and it wasn't until the 2019 World Cup when my nieces met female pundits and female presenters. One of them turned to me and said, when I'm older, I want to be a pundit. Now, she may not want to be. In a year's time, she might change her mind. That's what every kid, every teenager does. But it's by seeing other women do certain things, it just expands the list of possibilities she sees for herself, which is a feckin' great thing.
Yeah, amazing. Now, tomorrow is all about flashing back to the 90s in music, not social attitudes. So what was on your playlist back then, Richie? Tell me, what was a belter of a tune for you?
I'd love if I had a really kind of pretentious, really clever answer here, but Oasis, Prodigy, I didn't really have, we didn't have many CDs in the house.
I think Graham enjoyed getting this song for you because I've been making him get me clips of hymns all morning because there's a poll looking for the greatest Irish hymn of all time.
Really?
Yes.
What's the front runners there?
The front runner is Oh Happy Days, The Lord Is My Shepherd. Is
Belter.
Belter.
Can't argue with that.
Speaking of belters, I have the Prodigy for you. Thank you so much, Richie, for coming in. Richie is an ambassador for Bernardo's. We're supporting Flashback Friday, 2FM and Bernardo's, and you can get behind us and donate at bernardos.ie. And we'll be right back after this belter.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.